Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. And now I want to welcome a very special guest. And the name of her book is Flares Up, and it is shortlisted, I know, for Sunday Times Sports Book Awards. Neve McNally, are you there?
I'm here. Lovely to connect with you, Patsy.
Oh, it's great. I just have to say, I love your name. It's one of my favorite Irish names. And I'm going to just tell people, in case they look at it and they say, what is N-I-A-M-H? It is pronounced Neve, correct?
Absolutely. Perfectly done. Yes, it's a Gaelic word. So M-H in Irish makes a kind of V-F sound. Well done.
I love it. It's beautiful. And this story Flares Up. Now you can tell us about Flares Up and about, this is also an adventure.
Certainly. Well, Flares Up is called Flares Up, A Story Bigger Than the Atlantic. And the genesis of it was because my husband and I, we've been living on a sailboat for 6 years down in the Caribbean. And we happened to be in Antigua one day in February of 2020, sitting in the cockpit, having a late lunch, when somebody passed by and said, they're coming. And we said, who's coming? And they said, the rowers, they're about to come ashore. And the day before, we had seen in Antigua one of these very old wooden rowboats that was part of the Woodvale Challenge years and years ago, where people built the boat and then rowed it across the Atlantic. So we were super excited, thinking, oh my goodness, we'll actually get to see somebody. Now, we had been on the boat, like I said, almost 6 years at that point, and we had done some horrific passages out in the middle of the Atlantic for a 10-day splash coming from the Bahamas down to Puerto Rico. And it wasn't exactly a passage I was looking forward to doing ever again. So for me, the idea that these guys would have got in a 20-foot wooden rowboat and rowed it 3,000 nautical miles from the Canary Islands to Antigua was just, like, mind-blowing. So what we decided to do was we jumped into our dinghy. This race, which is at that time was known as the Talisco Whiskey Atlantic Challenge, was to row from the Canary Islands, La Gomera, and arrive in Nelson's Dockyard in Antigua. But the finish line is when you cross through the channel markers, the red and green buoy markers, and that was slightly out of our view from where our boat was docked. So we jumped in the dinghy, we motored out and brought my camera. And I was turning around to Gary, and Gary was saying, can you see them? Can you see them? And I said, no, not yet, not yet. And then I was like, wait, I can see a dot. And then it disappeared. And I realized that little dot was them. And as they rowed up and down the swells, they were getting closer. I started taking picture after picture after picture. And then when they passed through the red and green finish line, the marker buoys, the cannon went off. Everybody on every boat in the whole area started honking and blowing their whistles, and it was just a cacophony of sound. And to mark their moment of triumph, what they do is they then light their handheld flares that they've had with them on the boat the whole way over in case of emergencies. And so they lit them, and they stood up, and there was a media boat circling them in one direction, a race official boat circling them in the opposite direction. And when they passed each other, and suddenly there was this gap, I was clicking away with the camera and almost like a sports photographer. And all of a sudden, I said, oh my goodness, we've just got the shot. And I started crying. It was like watching somebody on an Olympic podium, you know, thinking of all the years of dedication it took them to actually stand up there and get a gold medal. And I was fascinated. So Gary was hooping and hollering. The whole harbor was erupting. And so we decided then to rush back to shore so that we were there when they actually climbed ashore. And when they did, they were met by the race officials and they were announced their time at sea was 70 days, 9 hours, and 11 minutes. So when they stood up and tried to get onto the dock, they were obviously like wobbling and it was like they were marine lagged as opposed to jet lagged. And I kept taking photograph after photograph. And it was so interesting to me why I couldn't understand why I was so connected to them. After the ceremony was over and the crowd kind of dissipated, the hotel brought out their first meal, which was, I believe, hamburgers, if I'm not mistaken. And suddenly they were just sitting there, the two of them, out in the grass area. Nobody around. So So Gary and myself went over and we started talking to them, and Gary showed them my photograph. And Paul, the main guy in the boat, turned around and said to me, he said, you know what, that picture sums up not just the 70 days we spent at sea, but the 4 years of struggle it took us to overcome all the problems we had, all the struggles to actually get even to the starting line. So he was very taken by it. And we thought, you know what, why don't you guys come over to our boat tomorrow night and we'll cook you your first home-cooked meal and you can tell us all about it.
Wow. Your life is an adventure. And these guys, I mean, it's like, first of all, the book is so well written. You just want to keep reading because there's a little mystery, as you said, like who's going to be waiting for them when they get there. But I can't imagine spending 70 days in one place anytime. What possessed them? I mean, did they look at a map? Did they really understand how many miles it was?
What possessed them is a good question. It's one of the questions we actually ask in the book. So earlier, obviously 4 or 5 years earlier, Paul, who was a firefighter, he's 55 years of age. He suffers a brain hemorrhage. Actually, he was 52 when that happened. And he survived. And he took a long time to recover. And what he decided was, you know, I've got a second chance at life. I need to do something big. I need to prove all the naysayers in my life wrong that, you know, I could amount to something. Because as a child, he had suffered from dyslexia. And so, you know, it wasn't that well understood at that time. And, you know, people thought he was just like stupid and unintelligent, etc. So he had to overcome a lot of challenges like that, even to pass his exams, written exams for the firefighter brigade. So that was his motivation. And then he teamed up with a man called Phil Pugh, who at the time of the race was 65. And he had always decided to do physical challenges to keep himself fit and healthy because he had a son who was born with cerebral palsy. And at about 2 months of age, this boy was not doing well and they thought he wouldn't last the night. And Phil made a bargain with God. He said, please let my son live. If you do, I'll love him forever. I will do everything I can to take care of him, his goals, his dreams, everything. And so he kept himself physically fit so he could always lift him and bring him places. And he brings him on the Great North Run in England and does a lot of different projects with them. So that was his motivation. But guess what? Neither Paul nor Phil had actually rowed before. So they had to learn from scratch. I know, it's just like inconceivable.
I was rowing a boat from a very young age. I think I was 5 years old. I was already rowing a boat because I lived on Lake Superior. But for somebody, a grown up, just to say, oh, I'm going to get in that boat. I'm going to start rowing across.
It's unbelievable. I mean, it's such a challenge to lay down. And, you know, it's interesting because when they came on the boat, we started talking and we started delving more into their story. And they found out I was a writer and we discussed the idea of my writing the story. And I said, you know what? In and of itself, rowing across the Atlantic, yes, it's amazing. Yes, it's a fantastic story. But really, for me, I think what people and readers would like to know is, why did you do it? How did it affect your families? And, you know, in a couple of months when you've had time to reflect on the experience, how did it change you as human beings? I said, that's the story. And they both agreed. And we had a lovely evening and kind of dug deep a little bit. And I said, let's do this. Let's meet for coffee tomorrow morning and have everybody sleep on it. And we talked it through the next morning. And we said, like, okay, let's go for this. And I said, obviously, we want to talk with your wives and your families as well to try and get their opinion and sort of feedback on the whole experience. So they flew back to England, and Gary and I were on our way down to Bonaire for hurricane season. We're going to get below the hurricane belt. And guess what happened next? The pandemic, and everything shut down. And what was interesting about that is the two lads had decided that they were raising money for charities at the same time as they were doing the row. And their plan was to go back to England and do like a tour with speaking engagements and telling everybody about it. And of course, that all shut down. And but for the fact that we ended up writing a book about them, their story might have died with it. Do you know what I mean? With the pandemic.
Yeah.
But We worked together for 2 years, about a year and a half altogether, you know, with phone calls and Zoom meetings, et cetera, for me to try and dig deep into their emotional and psychological and spiritual reasons for doing it. And then I decided, okay, well, it's a true adventure story, but I'd like to write it to read like a novel. So it'll be an easy read for everybody.
It does. Your writing is so, it is so terrific. It is just so good. And it reads like a novel. It is so exciting. You really want to not put that book down. You just want to know more. And I was so thrilled when I saw that you have a foreword by Jeremy Irons. And of course, you can tell a little bit why you have that, because your father, of course, was a very famous Irish actor. As I said, I love your name because I love Ireland. I love when I talk about, you know, living in England, I'd say, you know, I used to travel, and they say, oh, well, you went to Paris, you know, and the accent is just so nice, it's so sexy, and so, and I say, oh, no, that sexy accent is an Irish man. You can listen to an Irish guy all day long. And so, and as a matter of fact, the best series are Irish. They do such fantastic streaming series because your actors are all so good.
Thank you. Yes, Ireland has produced an amazing amount of talent, both on stage, on screen, in the writing world as well. I started out because my dad, as you said, Ray McAnally, and my mother, Ronnie Masterson, were both actors. So I grew up in an acting household. And in fact, that was my very first job. And then I got into TV directing myself. But it is true that kind of gave me, an anything is possible mindset. And you know, to challenge yourself to do some of these things. And what resonated mostly for me with this story of Flares Up is that it's not really about rowing an ocean, because we're not all going to do that. And guess what? I'm certainly not going to do it. And we're not all going to climb Mount Everest. But for me, the message of the book for everybody else is it's a story about achieving goals you set yourself, no matter how big or how small they are, and to learn how to push past obstacles that you might face and really go out there and live the greatest life you can live. And interestingly enough, the name of the boat was Dee Dee, which was Dream It, Do It. And for me, that's the resonance in it. And one of the reasons that Jeremy Irons wrote the foreword for it was because I had met him and Liam Neeson and Robert De Niro and the crew on The Mission, which is a movie that was filmed in South America back in 1985, or released in 1986, and had kept in touch. And Jeremy Irons himself is a great sailor. So, and he'd also read my memoir, which is actually coming out in September. And he agreed to write the foreword. And what's really lovely about it is he's coming at it from a point of view of understanding what the ocean's about. And even he, who came to the launch of it in Dublin, Ireland, was like, I throw my hat down to you guys. You guys did it on a shoestring as well. You didn't have all the financial backing. And you really went out there and you did it and kind of showed us what can be done.
They're amazing. The guys are amazing. Paul and Phil are amazing. And I love Jeremy Irons forward. And as you mentioned, he understands the sea. So he understands. I mean, every time I think of it, 70 days, I couldn't sit in my room for 70 days. Did they understand that the waves go up and down and up and down? Waves.
Absolutely. They had like 30-foot waves and stuff like that, you know?
I mean, I don't know how they survived it. It's a miracle. It is a miracle. And I don't know if one of the reasons Jeremy Irons gave you the board, have you optioned it already? Is it going to be a film?
Well, do you know what? It's something that we're exploring. I would certainly love to bring this to the screen, whether streaming
you
service.
Have.
I think it's really worth it. Yeah,
The whole story with you, you know, and sort of get it all together. It will be such a wonderful film. I will, of course, you might have to take seasick pills to watch them go up and down.
Watch it, yeah. Well, one of the things that if anybody, I mean, Jeremy Irons is a beautiful actor, as you know. So for anybody who loves listening to his voice, he's got the most amazing voice. He actually narrates the foreword that he wrote in the audiobook, and then I narrate the rest of it. So it's amazing to listen to him. He's pretty super.
Oh, I have not listened to it, but I now not that I wouldn't love your voice, but I love his voice, of course. I just can see with your talent as a writer and your knowledge of filmmaking, and you have all these connections to great filmmakers. I think some other of your family members are actors, right? You have a...
I've got a whole family, yes, a whole boat lot of us. My brother, Connor McAnally, is a TV producer and a lot of music television programs. And my brother, Angus, on-air talent. And also, he's a magician, musician, a very all-rounded entertainer.
We've got a family here, a marvelous family. And, of course, you're coming out with your own book. As you said, your book is coming out in September. And I you're already booked, I think, to be on my program. And it's called Following Sunshine. A voyage around the world and around the heart. And so I'm looking forward to that. I think it's so wonderful. Really, you have to get the family together, for goodness sakes. Find somebody to pick this up. I get such a kick out of it, the idea. And I think that, you know, all of you and the guys, they're all so interesting. This is going to be one of those films that people really, it's going to be the book, you know, you've won some awards for Flares Up, beautifully written. And it's an exciting book. It's a real life thriller. You've done a wonderful job. So when you're ready to announce the streaming contract that you're going to get, the option for this, you have to come on the program and tell me about it, okay? And tell my listeners, because
I will indeed. And if anybody wants to keep up on it, my website is called thewriterontheWater.com, and I'll be announcing all my new books and stuff coming up there as well.
Okay, well, it is so wonderful. Everybody, you go to Neve's website, follow her, because we're going to, as I said, we're going to have her back here in September to talk about Following Sunshine, which is a great title for a book, Following Sunshine, because that's what we should do in life. We should follow the sunshine. And as I was reading it, and in the back of my mind, I knew, you know, you were an actor. So, well, I don't know if you have ever acted yourself.
Yes, I did start out there.
I was thinking, yeah, I'm sure that somewhere along the line, because you're writing this in a way, the screenplay is like half written already. So you're ready for it.
Thank you so much. That's very sweet of you.
Well, you're a visual writer, and people, be ready to go to sea for 70 days.
It's one thing you were asking. We're talking about like people, the story behind books and getting into writing. One of the reasons I run writers' workshops as well is because I believe everybody has a story to tell, and they can tell it uniquely, their story. And interesting for me, people ask me, well, how did you know, when did you become a writer? And I said, well, it was interesting. In all my travels I used to do, I never just sent postcards. I would write letters about, you know, here, where I'm at. And the response I used to get was, I feel like I'm right there. I can see it. I can feel it. I can taste it. And so you're correct. For me, I write from a visual perspective. And maybe that is my background in television training originally. I see the image. And I actually write in my head, which helps me avoid the blank page. So I go out on my bike ride in the morning, and I start writing a sentence or two. So when I come in, I sit down at the typewriter or the laptop, and, you know, the first couple of lines are already out, which is a great start.
I'm glad you said that you write it in your head, because when I get a book and when I'm 3, 4, 5 pages in and I start seeing it in my head, and I forget almost that I'm reading, when an author can do that, I sort of stop myself. I said, I'm reading this. I'm not really on that boat. I'm not really going to get seasick, but I felt like it. So beautiful. Absolutely amazing. So everybody,
thank
get this
so
book.
Much,
it's by Neve McAnally. I love that name. And it's called Flares Up. It's a wonderful book. Really wonderful. And thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today. You are a joy. Your life has lived a lot of joy. And so we're looking to having you back and talking about Following Sunshine. So thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today.
Thank you so much, Patsy.
Okay. Bye-bye now. Bye. Wow. Oh, I love this book. I love this book. Oh, I needed an adventure like that. I can tell you. Bye-bye.